Well, good morning once again. It's just lovely to be here and lovely for us to celebrate harvest together. And when we have a harvest festival, one of the things we tend to do is give thanks. And one of the things we tend to do is to reflect on the wider world and on issues of justice. And that's what we're going to do this morning, really very simply. So three short passages, so not just one passage this morning, but three that we're going to look at. And really three words to encourage us and challenge us at this harvest time. And the first word is thankfulness. The presentation is coming up on the screen, I think. Okay, there we go. Fantastic. Oh, it's because that screen's not working. I was looking at that and thinking, where is it? But everything else is going fine, so that's brilliant. So thankfulness, first of all. And just an additional reading to the one that Tim brought. Here are some verses from Psalm 67. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. So the importance of thankfulness. And we're led to thankfulness when we recognize our complete and utter dependence on God. He provides for us. And as we recognize that, and as we see that it's essential that he provides, so we give thanks to him. Put negatively, without God, there is no harvest and there is no food. It's lovely to have Ina and Malte von Blumroder with us last week, and I'm hoping that we can really reconnect with them and have a real partnership with them in some of the things that they're doing in East Germany, a really hard area spiritually. One of the things about East Germany, of course, is that it was communist. And a story that comes from communist East Germany just shows us the need for dependence on God. So there was one year when there was a lot of rain, and then there was more rain, and then there was more rain. Typical Yorkshire weather plus. Okay, so we do get a fair bit of rain here, and I guess you realize that. But this was even more rain. There seemed to be no sun at all. And there was a real fear for the harvest. Is the harvest going to get in? Is the corn going to ripen? And in communist East Germany, there was a real fear of a lack of food because the economy wasn't good. And then suddenly, posters appeared, put up by the government, put up by the state authorities, on billboards, some on placards, they were on street corners. Ohne Gott und Sonnenschein holen wir die Ernte ein. Forgive me if you know German very well. I will translate for you as well as for those who aren't so good. Without God and without sun, we will get the harvest done. Okay? Without God and without sun, we will get the harvest done. Essentially, the atheistic state authorities shaking their collective fist in the face of God and saying, we don't need you. We can do this without you. We can put bread on the table without you. No God, no sun, no problem. There's going to be a harvest. There was only one issue, though. It continued to rain, and it continued to rain. There was no sun and there was no harvest. And the bedraggled posters disappeared overnight, coming down as quickly as they had been put up. God's word says this. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest. And God, our God, will bless us. So often God blesses us when we don't give thanks to him. He sends the sun and the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Such is his amazing love for us. He loves us, he cares for us. And so often when we effectively do shake our fist in the face of God, perhaps as nations, then God still blesses. And yet we are dependent on him. And we are called to be people who have thankful hearts. If you know and love the Lord Jesus, then there is so much for you to be thankful for. And for all of us, God provides in so many different ways. And we are called to praise and to give thanks. Harvest is one of those times when we do mark our dependence on God. And we probably just need to pause for a moment and make sure that this is clear for us, because most of us are not involved in farming, and most of us would probably count as being urban rather than rural. Where do we get our food from? Well, we get it from the supermarket. We get it from a smaller shop. If you're like me, occasionally food turns up on your doorstep and you don't even know who has brought it. It just appears. But actually, food doesn't just appear. It doesn't just appear in the supermarkets. Food is grown. Food is harvested. And so God provides for us, and it doesn't come in a packet. It comes because God provides, and he calls us to join with him in bringing about food, in growing crops and in harvesting them. But without God and without sun, we will not get the harvest done. We are dependent on him. Just take a moment to allow that to sink in. And as you allow it to sink in, give thanks to God for all that he has done and all he continues to do. May we be those like those that the psalm speaks about, who praise, who worship, who give thanks, because the land has yielded its harvest, because we know that God has blessed us. So the first word is the word thankfulness. The second word is the word broken or brokenness. And another passage is the one that Tim read to us, Matthew 12, 15 to 21, and especially verse 20. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. A bruised reed he will not break, a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. Jesus picks up these words from Isaiah 42. He quotes them and he applies them to himself and to his own ministry. God loves us in Jesus. God loves broken people in Jesus and reaches out to them. The image of the flickering candle is perhaps easier for us to understand. We have a candle and it's guttering, it's flickering, and you might easily just sort of snuff it out, maybe get a new candle or maybe light it again. But God does not do that in this image. We may feel that we're flickering, that we're struggling. God's love for us is strong and sure. The bruised reed is a little bit harder to understand. There is debate about this among the commentators, both in terms of Isaiah and Matthew. But it may well be that standing behind the idea of a bruised reed not being broken is something that shepherds and others would have done when they were out with their flocks, and they would have a reed, a fairly thick one, and they would hollow it out. They would make some holes in it and they would use it as a very basic, very rudimentary pipe that you would play music with, and you could get maybe two or three notes out of this reed. Of course, it was very, very, very basic, and when you've got a reed, it could easily be bent and bruised. What would happen when that took place? Well, the shepherd or the other person with the reed would just throw it away and would start again. There's no point in remaking a bruised reed. There's no point in straightening it out. You just break it and then you go for another one because it's really not worth very much. God's word says, and Jesus says, a bruised reed I will not. Someone who is broken, someone who is hurting, someone who is struggling, Jesus says, I will not snuff them out and I will not break them. It may not be valuable to other people, but you're valuable to me. Things being broken have been very much in the news, and we're going to have something coming up on the screen, the next picture. Many of you will have heard about this and seen this. Banksy's artwork, The Girl with the Balloon, sold for over $1 million at Sotheby's. So one of his most famous pieces. But then just a little while after it was sold, the painting shredded, or half shredded, and you can see it there on the left. As you look, there was a shredding machine built into the artwork. I sense that the gallery had to be in on this because it would never have got through security otherwise. This big machine that shredded the painting, and you might think spoilt it, but actually it's probably going to be worth more now than it was when the painting was bought. Some people have speculated that Banksy actually set this thing up, and so the artwork would be more valuable than it actually was before. Who knows about these things? But there is that sense of something being shredded and broken. And the piece is now called Love is in the Bin. And we can feel like that sometimes. Something else is coming up on the screen. Another picture. So there is close up of the artwork. There's the one that I want to show. I'm going to need to go back to my notes to get this. Kintsugi. Some people know about this. I know that Scott does because we shared about this at our Headingley leadership team meeting when he brought devotions. And I'm basically spinning out of some of those thoughts this morning. This thing about Japanese pottery that is broken, but then it is remade with gold lacquer. And the lacquer is mixed with gold. It's stuck together. And again, it is more valuable than it was before. That sense of brokenness, but then of great value. This is really at the heart of what I want to say this morning, and it's something that I've been reflecting on since Monday when we had our leadership team meeting. How God takes broken people and he loves them and he remakes them. He gives us great value. He doesn't throw us away. He doesn't break us. He doesn't snuff us out. He remakes us. We are valuable to him. And this really is at the heart of what I think God has for us this morning. And you may be there and you may be feeling broken for all sorts of reasons. And God comes to you and he wants to speak to you. Of course, we are called to stand beside the broken, and we're going to sing about that in our final song in a little while. And we've been able, some of us, to give to this morning, thinking about the women that we've seen in the clip. And one of the challenges for us as Christian people who have been given so much, so many of us, is to stand beside some of the broken. Maybe God is speaking to you in that way this morning. But we also recognize, don't we, that we can be broken ourselves. Maybe through a bereavement. It may be through an illness, something that is chronic that we are just struggling with. It may be things that are happening with family and friends. It might be something in the workplace. It might be workplace bullying. It might be redundancy. It might be a whole range of things. And there is brokenness. Sometimes we feel broken and we just don't understand why. If we feel like that in any way this morning, I believe that God wants to come to us and he wants to reassure us of his love. He wants to meet us where we are and he wants to piece us together. We are valuable to him. Over and over and over again in the scriptures, you see God meeting with people at a point of desperate need, lifting them up and setting them on their way. We see God forgiving again and again and again. How much does God forgive? It's not 70 times, it's 70 times 7. How much does God persevere? Well, it's over and over and over again. We see Jesus in his ministry meeting with those who are in deep distress, those who feel that they have nothing to offer. The woman who came and broke the jar of oil over his feet. Mary Magdalene, women who came to God in difficult circumstances, and Jesus met with them and lifted them up and gave them great dignity, a plan and purpose for their lives. The male disciples, again and again, they mess up. Peter says to Jesus, "Away from me, Lord, go away from me, for I am a sinful man." And Jesus meets him, forgives him, and leads him forward. And of course, that's not the end of it, because again and again and again and again, Peter and the other disciples mess up. They misunderstand. They do ministry in the wrong way. They neglect to do ministry. They squabble among themselves. Jesus is just performing his great act of service. He washes the disciples' feet, and then soon after they're arguing who is the greatest. And even after the resurrection, Jesus comes to them in his risen power. We read it in Matthew 28. Some worship him, but some doubt it. Again and again and again they get it wrong. Again and again they are broken, and yet God perseveres with them. However brokenness looks like for you, however you feel, God loves you. He wants to forgive you if that's appropriate. He wants to pick you up and remake you and use you again. This is you. I want to encourage you just to sit and receive and rejoice in the love of God and speak to someone afterwards. Pray with someone afterwards. Perhaps you can grab Scott or myself at the bring and share lunch or immediately after the service and just say, would you pray for us? God loves broken people. God stands alongside broken people. In Jesus, he offers us a fresh start and he says, I want to work with you. I want to put you back together. I want to use you again. A word about thankfulness and a word about brokenness and a word about unity. And just one verse as this comes up. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. And that's Romans 15 verse 5. Wonderful word about gospel unity. As you follow Christ Jesus, be united. And we saw wonderfully in the DVD clip and also in Heather's all age talk how we are better together. We work well when we work in unity. You're carrying a heavy load, it's really tough. But if someone takes things from you, then the same load is still being carried, but it's so much easier. Wonderful gospel unity. Again, the call to stand alongside those who are broken, those who are being empowered, and to give further help and encouragement, even as we are encouraged and challenged ourselves by their example. But there's also a call for us as God's people in terms of our unity. And I do just want to encourage Headingley Sunday morning, and whoever is listening to this on the website, about the importance of unity as we move forward as a church. Unity is something that is writ large in the scriptures for gospel people. It's there in letter after letter after letter that Paul writes, the encouragement to gospel unity. It's very careful. We need to be very careful how this is said, because sometimes this can be said wrongly. Sometimes this can be misheard. Sometimes pastors get it wrong. I have heard and I have occasionally witnessed pastors who have stood in front of congregations and said, we must be united. And what that actually means is you must agree with everything that I say. And it can be coercive and manipulative. You know the sort of thing, it's my way or the highway. You either do it like this or there's no place for you here. And I do want to nail this morning, and I will say this in other contexts as well. We don't want any of that. This is God's church. God's vision is what we are seeking together. And anything that is manipulative, anything that is coercive, away with it. And you can come back and challenge me on this whenever you like. Unity does not mean that we don't have robust debate. Unity does not mean that everybody thinks the same way. Unity does not mean that everybody is doing the same thing, because there is huge diversity of gifts. But I do want to encourage us to be united as we seek to discern God's vision and as we seek to move forward with it together. We are to discern together. That is part of the Baptist way of life. We work on this together. And as we discern, so we are to live out the vision, the changes that I believe that God does want to bring in, not only Headingley, but also right across our church. It's exciting times. And one of the ways that I think it's exciting is with our proposed new purpose statements. I got this wrong for the magazine. Some of you know this. It's been corrected. Wonderful proofreaders, Matthew and Sarah, picked this up and got it right. But it should be passion for God, love for people, heart for mission. If you've seen another version of that, almost certainly it's my mistake. Okay, but that's what I'm seeking to propose and offer to the church, and just encourage you to consider passion for God, love for people, and heart for mission. It's really something that encapsulates what you have already believed as a church. The documents that I've seen, the cards that I've looked at, in many ways, what this statement is saying is very, very similar, but in a clearer or shorter way. Passion for God, love for people, and heart for mission. And as we consider this over the next few months, there's going to be a series on that at Crag and also here at Headingley Sunday morning. I just want to encourage you to pray and to reflect. And so it's an invitation for us to come together in unity, to discern God's mind for the church and to move forward together. Who knows what God is going to do here in this place? I think there have been some really encouraging signs, even here this morning. I just sense a stirring of something, and we pray to God that there will be more. We've got a baptism service coming up on the 25th of November, and so if God is challenging you about baptism, now is the time to come forward, and we've got some really exciting opportunities that lie ahead. So three words this morning, a word about thankfulness, a word about brokenness. Do hear that and take that to heart if that is you. And a word about unity. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Jesus Christ. Let's pause and pray together. The under fives are going to be coming back in. I think, Tim, could you just go and flag up for them? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement that the scriptures give to recognize our dependence on you and be thankful. We thank you that you send the sun and the rain. We thank you that you cause the crops to grow. Thank you that the whole cosmos holds together in you. Lord, we want to express that we can't do without you. Lord, we are completely dependent on you for all that we have. And so we give you thanks and praise and worship, our great and glorious God. Lord, in a throwaway society where so often things that are broken are not fixed, we thank you that you work with us in our pain and our loneliness sometimes, our brokenness. Father God, gracious God, so come to us by the Holy Spirit that we might know you meeting us in our brokenness and remaking us and leading us forward. And Father, also we pray that you would give us a gospel unity, a unity of heart and mind and purpose as we follow Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you and we praise you that you have brought us together for such a time as this. Excite our hearts as you lead us forward, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.